mutual submission. Wives, now listen, the moment that you take your vows and you marry that man, it does not mean that you leave your brain at the altar. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message from the Epistle of Ephesians, becoming the woman God wants you to be. Now, Pastor.
It is a divine word from the lips of God. Amen? It's a divine thing. Helper describes a divine function, not a worth. It's what God created a woman to be. And matter of fact, if you look at that word in Hebrew, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it says that in Hebrew, the same word, God is our helper. That means something. It means that men don't ever make helper a bad word. The wife's role is helper, which means this. Since God is our helper, it means it is a God-like divine function. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 54:4, behold, God is our helper. Same word in the Hebrew. Hebrews 13:6 in the Greek, the Lord is my helper. It says in Genesis 2:21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. I bet he did. You know what I mean? And what did God do? It says God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Now, when you read verse 21 of chapter 2 of Genesis, the main point is not Adam's rib, okay? That's not it at all. The main point is that Eve came out of Adam's side. He took the bone and the flesh out of Adam's side, not his head, not his foot. Do you understand me? That you are to be at his side forever. You are God's divine helper. What an incredible, anointed person a woman truly is in marriage and outside of marriage as well. It says here, and then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, listen to what he did. He made, that word literally means he built the woman. He didn't build man. He built the woman. And he brought her to the man. So the first marriage, God is giving away the bride. So that word made, built, or constructed, if you will. So God designed woman from a part of man. The first woman on this planet came from man. Isn't that odd? Isn't that weird? 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. So only Adam came from the dust of the ground, not Eve. Eve came from the bone and the side and the flesh of Adam. Matthew Henry called Eve this. She said, Eve is dust double refined. You know what's interesting now about women, especially Eve? Did you know that the creation of woman in Genesis is described in 6 verses? Think about that. 6 verses. And the description for Adam is only 1 verse. When he was created, only 1 verse. Think about that, the trouble that the Lord went to. See, Adam was designed to be fulfilled only when he had his divine helper. Now, it says in verse 23 of Genesis, and Adam said, listen to what he says, it's so cool. God doesn't say this, but Adam says this through the power of the Spirit. Now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman or Isha. Because she was taken out of Ish, or out of man. Incredible. So Adam had named all the animals, and the last person that he named, you shall be called woman. Now listen carefully. When Adam saw Eve, the moment he saw her, do you ever just think about that in the garden? I mean, he had never seen a woman. And they didn't have any clothes on, you know? He's going, who are you? I've never seen it. I've been seeing, you know, birds, and who is this? Where'd you come from? And he said, oh man, now I know, you know. The moment he saw Eve, what did he do? He started prophesying. He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, we could put it into today's words. It was love at first sight. When he saw her, now listen, this is so important, guys, ladies. When he saw Eve, Adam recognized her as part of him. Do you understand? He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He didn't see Eve as a separate person. That is so vital for our understanding in marriage. He said, Eve, man, you are my missing ingredient. And God says, yeah, she has a divine gift. She is a divine helper. What a glorious gift and a glorious word for a married woman. It says, therefore, a man, Adam says, shall leave his father and mother, be glued or joined to his wife, and they, male, female, they shall become, here it comes, one flesh. Not you and me, not me and you, one flesh. Now listen, Adam was prophesying. Did Adam and Eve have parents, a mom and a dad? No, God was their creator. No, but this speaks of such intimacy. Now, I know you're in Ephesians. I want you to look now, drop down to verse 28. So husbands, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, watch this. So husbands ought to love their own wives, how? As their own bodies. Why? He who loves his wife, who does he love? Himself. He says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does his church, meaning the body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father, mother, and be permanently joined or glued to his wife. Here it comes, the marriage covenant, the miracle, right before us on those pages. The two shall become what? One. One flesh. Loved one, listen to me, men. The most important words in those scriptures I just read is found there in verse 28, and the word is as, as. Look at that. As their own bodies, as my own flesh. The two become one flesh. What does that mean? It means that your wife is one of the most glorious things you'll ever possess and have in your entire life. She is your divine helper. She is God's Almighty's divine helper with a divine function. There's no person on earth that can create what Eve has and what you have. Do you understand? Only God. And husbands, you have to think of you and your wife as one flesh. You have to remove false thinking from your mind. You have to say, listen, men, you have to say, I'm not building my life. I'm building one life. Does that make sense? Because we are one flesh. When you think of yourself, you have to think of your wife. To love yourself is to love your wife. To hurt your wife is to hurt you. And he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. In other words, marriage is a living, breathing union. When people get married, you've heard what I've said about marriage. If I officiated in your marriage, I always told you, I looked you right in the eyes, and I said, listen, when we stand up there together, it doesn't matter if there's 1,000 people or only 2 people in the audience. It's only you, me, and God. And in a moment, he's going to take 2 people, male, female, 2 incredible, different emotional makeups. And I don't know how he does it, but he takes that couple and he makes them one flesh. That is a miracle. You understand me? That is a miracle, loved one. Something that has never existed in your life ever before. It's a miracle. And that's why we nourish our wives as our own bodies. Why? Just like Eve and Adam, they were one. Husbands, your wife is a divine helper from God. Now, wives, listen to me. Are you fulfilling your God-given divine role and divine function? Are you becoming the woman? Are you becoming the woman God created you to be? Have you ever gone through scriptures, women and wives, have you ever gone through scripture and asked yourself, what does God really think about a woman? What does he think about me? Let me give you a few verses, what God says. It says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a what? Good thing. You've heard of wild thing? That's a song. This is a good thing. And listen, and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Here it comes. Her worth is far above rubies. What does that mean? God says, you are priceless. Let me give you one more. Proverbs 12:14. an excellent wife, a virtuous wife, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. What is God saying? God is saying to husbands, to man, he said, listen, your wife, that good thing, oh, listen, that's your real reward in your life. You find a good woman, man, you have all the favor you can get from me. Why? Because God says, I created her to be something. She has in her a gift that's already there. All she has to do is become what I created her to be, to bring forth that word, that divine helper. Now look back in Ephesians again, but go to verse 24. Therefore, just as the church, verse 24 of Ephesians 5, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Say that word one more time. Wow. Now wives, listen. Does everything mean everything? Boy, you cannot imagine the abuse that scripture has done. Listen, mutual submission, submitting yourselves one to another, because you're married, you're one, in the fear of the Lord. Mutual submission, wives, now listen, the moment that you take your vows and you marry that man, it does not mean that you leave your brain at the altar, amen? Okay, absolutely. Are you to submit? Here, oh, how about this? Are you to submit to physical abuse? Are you to submit to verbal abuse? Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Ephesians 5:25, the command given to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's agape. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? Did Jesus abuse anyone? No, he never did that. So that command, listen, are you to submit, does in everything, does it mean, okay, we're going to go sin? No. Does it mean we're never going to go to church again? I'm mad at Pastor Bill. He's a moron. Do you understand? Are you to submit to that? No, you don't submit to that. Loved one, listen, this, why would you not submit to that? Because it violates headship. If the husband is the head of the house, okay, meaning that he loves you the right way or he's abdicated his throne, all right, because Ephesians 5:25 is a command. I'll talk to the men next Sunday, the Lord willing. We may be in heaven next Sunday. But this violates headship. That means you're disobeying Ephesians 5:25, guys. Ladies, listen to me now. Wives, never lower your standards for any man or a date or your husband. Your marriage model. Ready, ladies? Here's your marriage model. Look at that scripture again. Here it comes. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Now, so let the wives be. Does that make sense? In other words, your obedience is to Jesus Christ, our Lord, first. That is the role here, or that's mutual submission in the fear of Christ. And what do? You both allow and know the Word of God and let the Word of God be your guide in your life. If the husband doesn't do that, men, listen to me, I love you, but listen to me. If you don't do what the Word of God says, you've just exalted yourself above the Word of God. Amen? Don't you like it when I'm aggressive? Yeah, I'm starting, getting a little mean up here, aren't I? That's because I was talking to Raul and it rubbed off on me, you know? Yeah. No, listen, women, the greatest tool that you have in marriage is this. It's the fear of the Lord. Listen, Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. Oh, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen, if a man doesn't treat you right when he's dating you, he's not going to treat you right in your marriage. If a woman doesn't treat you right, guys, in your courtship or your dating, okay, she's not going to treat you right in her marriage. Women, now listen, all women, every wife, listen to me carefully. Women had absolutely no rights in the first century. Go study it out. What did the Pharisees, remember what they believed? Man, the Pharisees taught that a man could divorce his wife for almost any reason. I mean, anything. And he could do so, the Pharisees taught, without shame, without guilt. You know, they were more like just a cattle, okay? You burned his dinner. I'm divorcing you. If you spoke an ill word to his mother, meaning your mother-in-law, oh, it was over with. He could kick you right out the door, and so forth. Now listen, that was man's view in the first century. That wasn't God. I don't know, does any woman in here even know 2020? This marks the 100th anniversary of what? The 19th Amendment. What was the 19th Amendment? It gave women the right to vote because you were unworthy to vote. You know, and you go back just a few years, not very long ago, in America, did you know that women, married women, they weren't allowed to make contracts? They were not allowed to even devise their own wills, or they didn't even control any of the wages that they earned. That was man's view. That wasn't God's view. Becoming the woman that God created you to be. Now listen to me, ladies. Whenever God the Father decided it was time for Jesus the Son to come to this planet, how did he arrive? He chose a virgin name Mary, a woman. You got it? A woman to bring forth the Savior of the world. Think about that high calling. Listen, the very life of God was first placed in the womb of a woman. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Listen, you're here for a divine purpose. God chose you in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation of this earth, before time began, just as he did your husband. In Jesus' last hours, what did he do? Where did he go? Did he go hang out with a bunch of guys? No, two women. You study out John 11:5 and the chapter 11 there about Lazarus and Mary. It says this in John 11:5, Jesus loved Mary and Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Listen, Mary and Martha were Jesus's very best friends. He loved to go to Bethany. And there in John chapter 12, who was it that anointed Jesus for burial? There they were. It was Mary, a woman that took a pound of very costly spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet in her hair. And then what happened? Who was it that started complaining? Was it women? Judas. It was men. And if you go to the Matthew's gospel, you'll find out the disciples, the other men, joined in with Judas. Well, they could have sold this costly spikenard for, much money, give to the poor. Jesus, listen to what he said. Let her alone. Leave her alone. I love Jesus. He says, for she has kept this for this day, the day of my burial. Listen to me now, ladies. A woman knew more than the disciples knew. Think about that. Oh, this honor, that anointing of Jesus at Bethany was not given to a man. It was given unto a woman. There was a nameless woman of Samaria. She came up to Jacob's well in the noon hour to fetch water. And she was an outcast, been married 5 times, and was now living with some old boy. And Jesus, of course, was there. Did you know Jews wouldn't even go through Samaria? Did you know that a rabbi, which Jesus was, he wasn't even supposed to talk to a woman? And he was talking with a woman. When the disciples came back, they were shocked. Why are you talking to a woman? Listen, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus because he's our Lord and our Savior. You know the story. I don't have to tell you about the living water and all of that. But here's what that woman did. She put down her water pot. And it says in Scripture in John 4:28, and the woman left her water pot. And she went into the city. And listen to what she said. She said to men. The men had probably whatever. But she said to the men, you come now and you come see a man who told me all things I have ever done. Could this be the Christ? The woman of Samaria said, he told me everything about me. A man. She didn't know that she could ever trust a man again. But she said, he told me everything that I'd ever done. He didn't abuse me. He didn't hurt me. He didn't wound me. He just wanted to give me living water. Listen, in John 19:25, it says there at the cross, it says, stood Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. They were all there at the cross. Where were the guys? There was only one of the disciples at the cross. All the rest of them had fled. It was only John. And who was with John? He was surrounded by what? Women. Think about who you are, ladies. Man, listen, on Resurrection Sunday, the disciples, what were they doing? Were they weeping at the tomb? No, they weren't weeping at the tomb. They didn't even believe Jesus had risen from the dead. Who was weeping at the tomb? A woman. a woman called Mary Magdalene. And guess what? John chapter 20 tells us this, that Mary, a woman, she was the first at the tomb, the first to hear his voice, the first to see the risen Lord, the first to touch him, the first commissioned by him, and the first to tell others. Think about that. Go to Romans 16. Matter of fact, I just want to turn there. Let me just read this. Romans 16, verse 1. Paul is closing out the greatest book written in the Bible. Paul says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister. The word Phoebe means a radiant. I mean, she was a light for the Lord. It says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cilicia, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of. Here it comes. For indeed she has been a helper. Say that word. Helper. Phoebe. She has been a helper of many and myself also. Listen, God trusted a woman, Phoebe, with the Magna Carta of the New Testament to deliver it to the saints at Rome. Paul placed into her hands this book of Romans. Loved one, oh, I read that and it gives me chills. Listen, and she was described as a helper. Last Sunday, I said this to you. I said, you study out the New Testament, the Gospels, and you will find that the women, do you know what they did? All the women that were mentioned that followed the Lord, they loved him. They honored him. Matter of fact, it was women who supported the Lord. Oh, here's what I said last Sunday. I said, search the Gospels. You'll never find a woman treating Jesus badly. You'll never find a woman speaking against Jesus. You'll never find a woman doing any harm to Jesus. Why? Because the women of the New Testament loved and honored Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knew how to treat a woman. Because he created woman. He valued a woman. Do you understand? Loved one, listen. Wives, submit is a love word. It says, as unto the Lord. It's a holy word. It's a great word. It's a word from heaven. It's a command. You are the called of God. Women, you are never inferior to men, and you should become all that God created you to be. Now listen to me. Your husband would never probably admit this, and I understand, because see, we've got that John Wayne macho, Rocky, you know what I mean? We think we're something. Your husband is incomplete without you. He's incomplete. See, when Adam saw Eve, he says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. See, you are one flesh with your husband. He must have a divine helper, for it is not good, God said, for him to be alone. If he doesn't have his divine helper, which is a divine gift, a divine function, a wonderful gift from God to a man, then you know what it means? It means a part of him is missing. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this word today. Lord God, no one elevated a woman. No one elevated marriage as much as you did. Oh, Lord, we praise you, for we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I pray, Lord, a divine touch in every marriage. Oh, let each one be so thankful for each other. And may they truly understand what it means to submit themselves one to another in the fear of Christ. I pray, Lord, those that are listening live that have marriage issues, perhaps those that are here, Lord, that they turn to you, that they repent, that they get right. And Lord, as they get right, they're going to find out how to have marriage God's way. We love you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says.
Pastor's study continues on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll join us again. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. We pray the teaching is a blessing to you. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.